Blog Talk Radio.
If it's smooth jazz, then the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds are talking about it on Talking Smooth Jazz, your place for all things smooth. Artist.
Hello, Brian. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hello there.
Boney James, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thanks so much. It's great to be with you guys.
Layla, thank you so much for coming on to the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Music.
This is the Jazz Queen with the Smooth Jazz News Minute.
With the smoothest show on internet radio, your hosts, the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds.
Yes, we are the smoothest show on internet radio. This is the Jazz Queen. Mike will be calling in shortly. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz, the evening edition. It is Monday, August 8th, 2011. Welcome to the chat room, Cheryl. If you would like to join us in the chat room, please go to TalkingSmoothJazz.com and click on D. Lucas' name. That will bring you right into the chat room. If you would like to call in and speak with D, the number is 646-716-5485, 646-716-5485. Tonight we are talking to saxophonist D. Lucas about his new CD, Rebirth of the Smooth. I love that name. Welcome to the show, D.
Hi, Terry. How are you?
Doing well. Well, thank you. I love that name, Rebirth of the Smooth. How did you come up with that?
Well, I was just sitting back thinking about the fact on what I've done in the past with this record, and I want to give them new life. And also I wanted to define some of the music that I was doing in terms of contemporary jazz, I should say. So
okay.
Basically, just wanted to take a lot of the records that I've done over the last three recordings and breathe new life into them.
Oh, okay. And that's kind of like, you know, what my show is doing and other shows on the internet and around the country here. We're trying to rebirth the smooth because it's, you know, smooth jazz because it's just been hit so hard these last few years. So that's a great title. That's a great title. Now, Dee, I think you are the first artist that we've interviewed who didn't start playing at a young age, you know, in school, junior high school, or anything like that. It wasn't until 28 when you started playing the saxophone. How did that come about?
Well, I tell you, not to say that I did not want to play when I was younger, but I just chose sports instead. So the desire was always there. It's just that I found a period in my life shortly after college where it was somewhat dormant, where I was just working and I had downtime to really build a craft in the art. And that's where I bought my first saxophone, started listening to a lot of the records, in combination to going out to some of the clubs, you know, listening to some of the guys in the ATL.
Mm-hmm.
That really inspired me. And I just took it from there. But like I said, my desire was there. I always had it. But I put a lot of work in, a lot of hard work into to the music. I developed a good sense of ear training along the way. What I tell you, when you grow up listening to all styles of music all the time, it's kind of inbred in you to hear certain sounds or certain styles. So that's what, you know, that's what happened. I started late, and I just honed in on it, and I had a serious desire to take it forward.
Okay. Now, you, like you said, you learned by ear. You're a self-taught musician. And between the time that you moved to Atlanta and the time you started playing the saxophone, how did you prepare other than, you know, listening to the music? I mean, did you learn sheet music? Did you learn how to read music?
Mm-mm. No, not at all. At the time, once again, it became just 100% ear training.
Mm.
Just listening, just putting records on, just listening to it going over and over. However, I did eventually get mentored from time to time from horn players out in the area.
Okay.
I would, you know, we'll share it a little bit, give me tidbits, and then I would just take it and run with it. And then eventually I would go out, buy sheet music, and just learn the basics. You know, you have the beginner, the intermediate, and the advanced stages. And I would just take the basic basic saxophone book and learn Mary Had a Little Lamb and just take it from there. And then somewhat apply to what you hear every day through the music that you hear on the radio. It's all relative, I should say.
Okay, but now you said that you bought sheet music, but you didn't know how to read music. So how did you teach yourself to read music?
Well, basically, it's self-explanatory from a note perspective.
Okay.
I mean, when you go from the basics in terms of note, the scale, and listen to the play along,
mm-hmm.
it kind of gives you insight, one note at a time.
Okay.
And once again, when you have a mentor from time to time that can give you insight on what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
it's somewhat of a roadmap, and you can kind of somewhat figure it out, I should say. But not to say that what I did was very easy. It was very difficult, and it's also a combination of just kind of being blessed, I should say, as well.
Yes, yes. Okay. Now, your first CD was called Remembrance, and this is a CD that is a tribute to George Howard. Had you ever met George?
Yes, I did. I met him several times in the 90s. I saw him when he moved from L.A. to Atlanta, and he did a lot of shows in the Atlanta area in the early 90s. And I did get a chance to sit down and meet with him, and he was definitely one of my favorite horn players, very influential, very cool cat, gave me a lot of insight on the industry, the pros and cons, and what to look out for, the things to do and things not to do. So it's definitely very beneficial to what I'm trying to do and where I'm heading as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt very compelled, in my opinion, where he passed away so soon, and I felt that his music really wasn't getting the recognition that he deserved, despite
mm-hmm.
the fact that he did have a loyal following.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have, in my opinion, what was a worldwide commercial following. And it just seems like when he passed away, it's like his music got buried somewhere along the lines where you just don't hear it on an everyday appearance on radio. And I just felt a call to do something to bring his music to the forefront or give it some, you know, some recognition on what a great artist had done in a short period of time.
Okay. Now, I lived in California for 13 years before moving to Atlanta. And while I lived in California, I was not into jazz. It wasn't until I moved to Atlanta that I got into smooth jazz. And I moved there in 96. And I remember I was at work, and the news came on the radio that he had passed away. And I wasn't familiar with any of the artists. I didn't know who they were. I learned about Brian Culberson there. I learned about Boney James there. And that's
right.
How I learned about George Howard. And I was buying the music off of this website. You know, I think it was called BMG Music Club or something like that.
Right.
That's how
right,
I was
right.
buying my music. And that's how I learned about the artists. And I had bought a couple of George CDs and really enjoyed what I heard. And was wishing that I could, you know, get a chance to see him. And then the news came that he had passed away. And I was like, oh, okay.
Right.
So I was glad I had the music, but I would have loved to have seen him play.
Very, very unique. Had his own style. Very, very unique. You knew him within the first 3 seconds of his songs.
Mm-hmm.
Just by his tone and the way he approached the music. You knew it was him. And that is a beautiful compliment to have. For an artist, is to have your own unique sound, and that he had.
Yes, I agree. Let me introduce you to my co-host, Mike Reynolds. Mike, meet D. Lucas.
Hey, D. How's
Mike,
it going?
I'm doing fine, Big Mike.
<All right. laughs>
Okay, I want to get into some music here. The first song I'm going to play is Nothing That I Do. Tell me about this.
Actually, that song was produced by a bassist out of Gary, Indiana, who also lives in Atlanta, Mr. John Roberts. And the vocals were performed by Miss Terry Carroll. And she is a a vocalist also out of the Gary, Indiana area. She is a two-time Stellar Award nominee, very powerful vocalist.
Mm-hmm.
How the song came about, the song is really about how someone can put all their efforts and resources toward their loved one, trying to help them or love them, go the extra mile, and it's still not enough. And I think we all can relate that to some degree. Sometimes your efforts are still not good enough in the eyes of someone else. So that's what that song is really about.
Okay. We're talking to saxophonist D. Lucas about his CD, Rebirth of the Smooth. If you would like to call in and speak with D, the number is 646-716-5485. And those in the chat room, Boney Fan, Carol, Cheryl, guests, welcome. If you have a question, please post that in the room, and I will get that to D. This is Nothing That I Do. Love that song, D, but it's too short.
I knew you were gonna go there with that.
It's too short.
Hey, look, I get hit all the time about that. I mean, I had one person say, you know, by the time I got the grooving, it was over.
It was over. I'm like, this is too short. He's got to add another minute and a half to this song. Go back to the studio and add another minute and a half on that song. That is too short.
I tell you what, I just have to extend it live. I just have to tell the real story, the whole story live.
Oh, yeah, that is a nice song. I really like that. I really like that a lot.
Good. I appreciate mm-hmm. that. I mean, that is a beautiful song, and we definitely had to pick that. We had to choose that song for the rebirth of Smooth City. We really did.
Anita in the chat room told me to tell you that a song is a minimum of 5 minutes. Minimum.
A minimum of five. You know, I like that. I really like that. But, you know, radio stations do not like that at all.
Well, see, this is the problem with radio
right.
stations. This is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's why
because,
we. Yes.
You're right. You're absolutely right because that's the way it should be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the problem. These radio edits and stuff, they need to let that go and just let the artist, you know, play the song that the way it was originally intended to be played and not
right.
cut it down. Yeah. I
absolutely.
Agree. I agree. I want to go back just for a minute to the Remembrance CD and ask you when that CD was released,
mm-hmm.
were you 100% happy with it, you know, knowing that you taught yourself how to play the saxophone, you taught yourself how to read music, and when you released this CD, was it everything you had hoped it would be?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. Let me tell you why, because that's a lot of pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Your first recording, you're practically a new artist, and you're recording a tribute of a great horn player. I mean, a great
mm-hmm.
artist, not just a horn player, but a great artist.
Mm-hmm.
You're treading in some deep water right there. But I tell you, at the time, I had no worries about what I wanted to do because I had an idea on how I wanted to put the music out there. Hindsight is always 20/20 to some degree. I mean, I mean, it doesn't even have to be this record. You can always second guess some things that you've done on a record, some things you could have done differently. But I say looking back on it and then coinciding with the time on when I did it, I would not trade what I did because I felt from within, I did it from the heart.
Okay.
I felt that at the time, no one was doing anything for this artist, and I wanted to step up. And that's why I was very careful in picking certain songs because some of the songs were kind of down the middle, but some of the songs were very complex. And you have to know which ones to pick that's going to suit you but also come across correctly.
Right. Right.
And,
okay.
You know, there's an old saying out there, if you're going to cover a song, cover it and cover it well.
That's right.
You know, put something different to it or just leave it alone.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I totally agree 100%. So what was your experience like the first time you were on stage? What was that experience like for you?
Well, I kind of eased into it. So before, you know, the days of, before I started as a solo artist and before I started with my band Expressions in 1999, I started out playing with another band here in the ATL. It was called Between 9 and 7. And what it gave me, and mind you now, I'm still learning and I'm still learning the instrument. I'm learning the music.
Mm-hmm.
That particular time, it was good for me. I saw it as a good internship, and it gave me a lot of experience from a live perspective because I was a side man. I wasn't so much a front guy.
Okay.
So I doubled with a trumpet player. So we didn't have so much the responsibility as carrying the entire show as front men. It was a true band. It was one of those mint condition type bands where everyone could carry some weight. Everyone had a piece or a role. So I kind of matured into the experience playing live. From a very a low key perspective, there wasn't a lot of pressure, I should say, on
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of grew into that, and also it allowed me to learn the business side of music. So when it was time for me to start my own thing or go into a different path, I felt very comfortable in terms of playing live. And there were times where I was given the opportunity to solo, and that's where I got a lot of the confidence. And soloing here and there, but not all the time, or leading a song from start to finish. I was able to pick and choose my comfort zone. So.
Okay. And what in terms of audience, How did you find that the audience received you?
I found that the audience received me based on the type of music that I was presenting. At that time, and still today, it's nothing like a good cover tune. I mean, a good cover tune that someone can really connect with. And one of my formulas is, try to do a song that someone can really enjoy, but also something that you would like to produce or something that you would record yourself. And if you take that approach, then you're very comfortable, and it comes across genuine. And over a period of time, when you do that, you feel good on stage, and people can receive you a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to just rush, going through the songs or going through the motions of a song. So it's really about picking the material.
Right.
And don't let you pick the material, don't let the material pick you, I should say.
Okay. All right. Again, we're talking to saxophonist D. Lucas. His new CD is called Rebirth of the Smooth. You can find that on his website, dlucas.com. Follow him on Twitter, D. Lucas. And there's another Twitter name for you. Which one? Do you have a preference over one?
D. Lucas.
Okay, so you can follow him on Twitter, D. Lucas, and also follow him on Facebook. The next song, D., Keep Knocking. Tell me about this one.
Okay, this song is originally off the Stand in the Room Only CD, produced by a drummer out of Birmingham, Mr. P.J. Spraggins. The story behind this is really a testament of where we are within ourselves as people in terms of inspiration, resilience, or you need some type of confidence to get you through what we're going through right now. A lot of times we have dreams, we have goals, and a lot of times people around you are not very supportive for what you do. A lot of times you fall, but you have to get back up. So
true.
This song is really about keep knocking, keep pursuing your goals, and stay persistent, stay dedicated, and stay disciplined. And there is light at the end of the tunnel. So that's what this song is really about.
All right, this is Keep Knocking. right. That was Keep Knocking from saxophonist D. Lucas, CD Rebirth of the Smooth. I can hear a little George Howard in that song.
Thank you, thank you. Yes, some things I just can't hear, but I listen to them all the time.
Yes. I have a couple of questions for you from the chat room. The first one is from Cheryl. She says that on a previous CD, you did Tiffany's World for your daughter. Do you pull a lot of your music from your life experiences?
I do, but at the same time, I pull from my experiences, but I also try to have a common thread with everyone else, to the point where someone else can relate to what I'm saying,
mm-hmm.
or someone else has some type of relation or some type of experience of what I've gone through. For example, Tiffany's World. That song is dedicated to my daughter, and that song is really about the struggles that my daughter had. She was born 3 months premature. She spent 58 days in the NICU. And just watching her struggle, but she was getting stronger every day, and it was really painful to see that. I was really helpless. There was nothing I could do but just go up there every day and show some support. But from that time to the time she came home, it's a story of her, you know, of her struggle and her strength. And see, that's my experience, but there are a lot of people out there that can relate to that, because premature babies are born all the time. So that's basically where I was coming from with that record.
Okay. I have another question from Anita. And Anita, I apologize, but I missed most of your question during the scroll. But essentially what she wanted to know was it a leap of faith for you to quit your 9-to-5 job to start playing and become a musician?
Well, actually, I haven't quit my 9-to-5.
Ah.
I just don't wear it on my shirt.
Okay.
The actual goal is to eventually evolve into the music world 100%.
Okay.
But right now, I as an independent artist that has his own record label, that's having a joint venture with another record label, I really it's a benefit at this point. To continue to fund my business through what I do,
mm-hmm.
until things really make sense. It's definitely ideal to go full throttle, and eventually that's where I'm heading. That is my goal. But it's got to make sense. It's got to make financial sense. It's got to make business sense
right.
on all fronts. But one thing I don't try to wear that on my shoulder, because it's a fine line between those two. But I am an artist, and that's what I want to promote from D. Lucas' perspective. That is what makes me happy every day.
Mm-hmm.
What keeps me going. And I would not know how to function if I couldn't participate in any type of parts of the art. So that's where I am musically.
Okay.
Now I want to ask you, Dia. We have a lot of artists that come on to the show who are, you know, full time musicians and everything. So how do you juggle or balance the time? You know, like say having a job and you know and really trying to get your career off the ground, because that's a lot of time spent, studio time, going to rehearsals, sound checks, and things like that, and still having a day job and everything. How do you balance all that?
I tell you what, it's a blessing, and I tell you why, because if I were working with the traditional setup of going into an office, then it would be very much difficult than what it is now. It's hard enough now because I work in the IT world, but it's very difficult balancing it. But you got to have a plan. You got to know how to plan ahead on certain things. The good thing that I do have that works in my corner is that I work from home.
Mm.
I don't take it for granted.
Mm-hmm.
I don't abuse it. It's just that I plan things accordingly. Even with my performances, for example, contractually, if I want to perform, if someone wants to solicit my services or wants, I need, you know, certain days in advance. And I think that goes with anyone, even if they're a signed full-time artist. You need advance notice where you can get your band together, get your logistics together. So it also works for me that I need to juggle things with my family. I need to juggle things with my other side of the workforce to make sure that I can fulfill a service in this music industry.
Mm-hmm.
But your question is definitely well noted. It's very tough. It's very tough, but I have to stay persistent. And one of the things that I did learn in those 4 years at that institution called college, you learn your time management. You learn time management, and if you walk away from type of business, it's all about planning and planning and more planning. but it's not easy at all.
Okay. All right. I just want to mention that I lost the chat room, and I'm trying to get back into it. So if those of you, the TSJ chatters, if you're still in the chat room, stay there. I'm on my way back. I'm trying to work my way back in. All right, let's go to some more music. Standing Room Only. This is from a previous CD. So tell me about this.
This one was produced by a Chicago bassist named Lee Hurst, who also lives in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
I approached Lee with the notion that I wanted to do something totally different from the smooth jazz world. I wanted a house-type sound. I wanted something that was bouncy. I wanted something that was fun. I wanted something that was just totally outside the box of smooth jazz, something that I think everyone in all boundaries, genre, around the world, that could really identify with this record. If you listen to it really well, it's got a little Incognito to it. Got, you know, like the group of Incognito, it's got that sound. And, you know, Incognito has a world sound.
Yes.
And that was one of the things I definitely want to do as an artist, is that I want to break down barriers musically where I'm not just defined to a certain style in smooth jazz. In fact, I prefer contemporary jazz, because there you can really reach out and grab a lot of flavors of jazz. A lot of styles can come out of contemporary jazz as opposed to smooth jazz.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I was coming from. I wanted more of a world type of sound.
Okay. All right. This is Standing Room Only. Thank you. That was Standing Room Only, and that is from a previous CD by the same name. Dee also has a CD called Something to Ride To, and that was released in 2007. So, Dee, when you look back over your career, you've released three CDs since picking up the sax at 28. How do you feel about what you have accomplished so far since starting, you know, at a late date?
Well, it's kind of twofold. I feel good what I've done in the past, but I'm not settled. I feel like there's, of course, plenty of room to grow. And I always want to continue to push myself. And that's the purpose of Rebirth of the Smooth, not only just to give my music a life, a rebirth, it, but I want to sit back and say, hey, this is a testament of what I've done in the past, but it's also a sign on where I'm heading in the future. So I'm still hungry, music-wise,
okay.
And as an artist, I'm continually trying to get information on how I want to reach audiences, different audiences, how I want to approach music. I feel like there's a lot to learn in this music industry, not just on stage, but behind, you know, behind closed doors, business end. That can really secure you as a person. It's a good career that you can really embark on if you do it correctly. I have no regrets on what I've done in the past. And I'm very happy and proud. And I think what keeps me going, Terry, is that a lot of people come up to me and say, I really appreciate what you've done musically. I really like your music. And when someone says that, you can tell when someone's just saying it. And you can tell when someone is very genuine with it because, someone, they don't know you. It's one thing to say that your auntie or your mom called, you know, your music sounds good, but whatever. But okay, I know when you come blow your nose and now you sound good. But when people walk up to you, they don't know you. They have an option. They don't have to come to you and tell you that. But when they do, you got to put some weight into that. So that really saying, well, you really touch someone, and it really means something. So that's what keeps me going. It's not to say that my family says that. I'm just kidding, because they're very supportive as well, and I'm very appreciative of what they've done for me because I wouldn't be where I am without my family.
So
I'm very pleased on where I am.
Okay, all right. There's a Rod from the chat room wanted me to let you know that he loves your work and he wants you to keep up the great job.
Well, thank you, Rod. I really appreciate that. I'm going to continue to do the best that I can. I'm going to always set some high standards for myself and also and challenge other musical artists as well. You know, we have a responsibility out here, and that is to continue to keep the integrity of music alive, not just playing music, but have a good integrity in what you're doing.
Exactly. Now, Rebirth of the Smooth is like a compilation CD. So are you working on a new CD?
Absolutely. Actually, I'm sitting on probably like 15 or 18 songs right now, trying to decide on what I want to do for 2012. I'm going to target another song, another project for 2012. But I want to carefully do it, and I want to make sure that it is targeted right, the right songs are on it, and I want to make it also a continuation of what I've been doing. So I don't want to rush it. I don't want it to sound like he just put this out here. I really want to carefully pick the songs, the composition, to make sure there's got validity in the actual overall process, and also where it can also sustain itself because with this Rebirth of the Smooth, Terry, you got to understand, I got 16 tracks on. I got 16 out of 30 songs that I put on, that I've covered over three albums. So these 16 are 16 that I feel are standard bearers for me to move forward. So any records that I put out going forward, it's got to mean something, and it's got to be a step beyond what I've done this far. I can't take a step back. I got to move forward, and it's got to have a high standard each and every time.
Yes, yes. Okay. All right. Well, I do like your music. Genuinely like your music, except that nothing that I do is too short. But
I know. I know you're gonna come back with that. And I, you know what I'm gonna do for you, Terry. And this is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna put something live on DVD for you.
Okay.
I may do a live DVD. I don't know if that's too dated for you, but I just may do something live for you, and I may just make it George Clinton style. I mean, 15 minutes.
Oh, my God.
You know how the OJ tell a story from start to finish?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I may just go a little bit over and beyond with it, but I feel what you're saying. It was a little too short, but, hey. We were trying to hit all corners with that record there, radio, but also also just for the CD itself. Didn't want to get penalized too much, but who knows? We may stretch it somewhere down the road.
Okay. Well, I want to play the last song before we let you go. This is called Reconcile. Tell me about this one.
Reconcile, which was co-produced and co-written by one of the existing members from the band that I created back in 1999, Expressions. His name is Kerry Davis, pianist, producer. We wrote the song. This song is really about a lot of things. Once again, it can also be a worldly thing, but it also be a personal check for yourself in terms of your relationships, in terms of mending broken hearts, putting pieces back together. It's about putting things together. Don't walk away from things that's not right. I mean, really make it right so you can move forward. It's just a form of reconciliation because
okay.
you really can't sleep. You really can't have a good conscience if your heart is not right.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's all about reconciliation. And we can run the gamut, whether we're talking about a relationship, what's going on across the world, how we treat each other, among races, among ourselves as a family. But at the end of the day, if you can reconcile with one another, it goes a long way.
Wow. That is so funny because Mike and I had a conversation about that a few days ago. So that's so funny. Okay, this is Reconcile from D. Lucas, Rebirth of the Smooth CD.
Thank you.
All right, that was Reconciled from saxophonist D. Lucas, Rebirth of the Smooth CD. So what's coming up for you, D? Where are you going to be playing?
Well, this week, I'm pretty loaded this week. Actually, tomorrow I'm here in Atlanta at Arizona Restaurant from 7 to 10. We're doing what we call Jazz on the Stars.
Okay.
Thursday, I'm in Carolinas. I'm in Charlotte playing at Bulls and Barrister venue. Friday, I'm in Winston-Salem, part of the Winston-Salem Downtown Summer Concert Series. Saturday, I'm in Greensboro as a special guest with the house band at the Boston House of Jazz Club. And Sunday, I will be in Columbia, South Carolina as part of the Jazz in the Park, hosted by guitarist Terrence Young and the jazz diva, Ms. Tammy Green.
All right, so, you're going to be busy.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. We got to work the record. Hey, we got to get it out there and let the fans get a taste of it. And I really look forward to it. And got some other cities coming up later on in September and October, and we're still taking more dates as they come.
Okay. All right, now the digital release, Rebirth of the Smooth, was done in July. The physical CD release, is that still August 22nd?
Actually, we are going to have a limited copy this week for the Carolina swing. But I think the mass release is going to be, I think, like you're right, August 26th.
Okay.
But I think we're going to have some surprise availability this week. So I hope that the fans will really, take advantage of that.
Yeah, so do I. So do I. Definitely support the artist and purchase his music. If you are in the area that he mentioned, definitely go see him. Check him out. And let him know that you heard the interview on Talking Smooth Jazz. And purchase his music. I like the music very much. And congratulations to you and much continued success to you.
Thank you very much. And Terry, I would really like to say thank you for taking out the time, not only just for me, but what you do. You and Mike, for what you're doing with the artists here, because right now we're going through some tough times with radio, availability, visibility. So what you're doing for artists in terms of the exposure, getting their music out there, is really unprecedented, and we really can't say thank you enough, because it's tough out here, and artists can really use all the extensions of help and assistance that they can, and like I said, with radio downsizing, radio is still important, especially your type of radio. Because,
yeah.
I mean, really, because you got fans, and the people that come in and call in to these type of stations here, they're real fans.
Well, fans. Thank you for that. We enjoy what we do. I love Smooth Jazz. I love the artists. I love everything about it. And that's why I started this show. So thank you for that.
Sure. And if you need anything, you got my number.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Well, Dee, thank you for joining us. Again, congratulations on this new CD. And let everyone know where they can pick up the rest of your music and also, Rebirth of the Smooth.
Sure. They can, for starters, the physical CD for all the backline CDs, you can go to my official website, which is dlucasonline.com. Also, you can go to cdbaby.com. Amazon.com, and all of the digital partners, iTunes, Napster, Rhapsody, the whole nine. They're all out there, and they're available.
Okay. All right. And follow him on Twitter, D. Lucas, follow him on Facebook as well, D. Lucas there as well. Thank you, D. Thank you very much.
It's my pleasure. Take care, okay?
Thanks. You too.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, that was saxophonist D. Lucas. His new CD is called Rebirth of the Smooth. So check that out. Support the artist. Always support the artist and purchase their music. All right, Mike, are you there? Okay, Mike is not there. All right, so I want to thank everyone. I lost the chat room, so I apologize for that. Apparently, all the chats are down on BTR, and they're fixing that. So I want to thank those that were in the chat room. Thank you for joining us. Anita, Carol, Lori, I'm going by sight here now. Cheryl, thank you all for joining us. This weekend coming up, Let's see, who are we talking to this weekend? Let me pull out my little information here. Vandale Andrew, his CD, we'll be talking to him about his CD. Chris Godber will be joining us on Sunday to talk about his CD, My Offering. So join us for those shows this weekend. Thank you again, everyone, for joining us. You've been listening to Talking Smooth Jazz with your host, the Jazz Queen, and Mike Reynolds. And we look forward to talking smooth jazz again with you next time. Until then, keep it smooth.
Thank you for listening to Talking Smooth Jazz. Please visit our websites, TalkingSmoothJazz.com and Mastermind-Entertainment.com. Join our Facebook fan and group pages and follow us on Twitter at Jazz_Queen and The Daily Grind. That's THA Daily Grind.